Look, we're restreamed. We're up. Let's see.
That's what it says.
That's what it says.
But I know I've had it say that sometimes, and it's usually not completely.
Yeah. Right. So let's see. I haven't seen any notification on Facebook or anything yet.
Twitch has not given me anything yet.
Twitch has not given you. You're not twitching.
Not yet.
All right. Hey, look, Madison Public Library's live. All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yay! No notification, but
I got a notification.
Like, it's just like, hey, I'm here.
I'm notification because I got the notifications.
Well, I have notifications too, but.
So first off, welcome to Tech News. And
Tech News.
Yeah.
Come on, we made a name for this, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, it's
a
name.
It escaped me. It's been a while.
Come
on. What's the name, Charlie?
Talking Tech.
Talking
dude.
Tech.
Come on.
So welcome to Talking Tech. It's been a while. Happy New Year. Happy 2023.
Woo!
So if you've never seen us before, my name is Sean Walsh. I'm the Emerging Services and Technologies Librarian for your library.
And I'm Charlie, the Guiding Ohio Online Learning Coach here at the Madison Public Library.
And behind the camera.
And I'm Morgan, and I'm a page here.
And Morgan is currently our editor and streamer and keeping an eye on everything. And so she's watching the chat and everything. So Talking Tech, feel free to ask us any questions at all. We're here to answer all of your technology questions. We spend a lot of our time talking about technology news and going on tangents because we're good at tangents.
Yeah, somehow it's always a tangent about some form of food.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or some form of old technology.
Yeah,
usually.
Because we're hungry.
Old technology? We're hungry for old technology?
We're always hungry for old technology.
I guess that's true.
So, okay, did you guys share out the stream to your social media?
I did not.
Let's share out the stream to the social media. So as they're sharing it out.
Yep.
My phone's acting funny.
I'm getting
so
there.
Feel free to ask questions at any time. We've got the chats open. So we're available on TikTok. We're available on Twitter. We're available on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook. So I think we've got everything covered. So we've got a bunch of different stories. So we're glad to see you all back. And if you want, I'll go ahead and get started while you guys are sharing things out.
Yes, feel free to.
Okay. So, as many of you know, we have a decent number of 3D printers here at the library. We have SLA and FDM printers. And so I want to start out with a story that I thought was pretty cool. We can now 3D print as much wood as we'd want and in the shapes that we already wanted in.
Okay.
So,
I think I might have seen this, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. So there's some work, and it's kind of interesting because we are a greenhouse capital or former greenhouse capital of the world up here. Zinnia. So most of us know zinnias as flowers. Apparently there is a version of a zinnia that can produce more of a wood-like structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using the cells of a zinnia to basically you can grow your own dining room table. So it's kind of cool. So it's like 3D printing and growing at the same time. So basically it's laying down the zinnia wood cells, and then they basically merge into a table. There's a lot more to it, but I'm trying to simplify
it. Yeah.
So if you think about it, we could grow, we could produce, we could print any wooden structure.
Okay.
And so we already know that you can print with a wood like filament.
Yes.
Charlie and I have talked about it quite a bit. So it's plastic mixed in with wood fiber. One of the reasons we don't use that is it tends to eat up the print nozzles. This seems to not have that problem, and I'm not sure why. It was a little vague in the article I was using for my research.
I wonder if it hasn't been tested that long yet.
They've been running, it looks like they've been doing this for about a year. So that's not a lot of
not much at all. No.
But in theory, all of the weird shapes you could 3D print.
Yes.
You know, because you'd have to build supports and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But we could literally print like S curves and all kinds of, I know that my two compatriots haven't been around the sun as many times as I have. But definitely some of the more interesting like Euro furniture from the 70s and 80s. I know you probably saw some of that in movies, like weird shapes and even some of the Frank Lloyd Wright, because we do have a Frank Lloyd Wright house in Madison. Some of the Frank Lloyd Wright designs, kind of the organic flowy stuff, which was really hard to kind of like build, we could print. Okay? Print the wooden squishy floppy chair.
Instead of
doing
weird things to wood to get it to work that way.
Yeah, because a lot of times they had to like steam them and bend them and
yeah,
you know, and hope that they don't break. I've done that as a project
yeah.
to make like a wooden hoop. It was a woodworking project, and it was problematic at best. Problematic at best.
When is working with wood ever not problematic?
Yeah. Craziness ensues.
Oh yes.
So 3D printing with wood. I'm gonna keep following the story, and I'll keep you interested. Keep you up on it. So if you're interested,
yeah, I think I'm more interested in seeing how many print nozzles it kills.
Yeah, print nozzles. I want to see the dining room table printed and like in place. That would be cool.
Yes.
You know, all the dining room table, the chairs, and the plates all printed. What do you think, Morgan?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
You just have to print it. You don't have to go. You don't have to move it.
Yeah,
just print it in place.
Just print it in place.
You know, that'd be kind of cool.
Print. Well, they are. I mean, they're 3D printing houses. You guys have seen this, right?
Well, yeah, with concrete.
So it's basically like extruding out concrete into the shape. So I think that's pretty darn cool. So you know, you could 3D print the house, 3D print the furniture, and then move on to the next one.
Now, see, are they going to allow double extrusion or dual extrusion so I can change the colors and I don't have to just see wood grain everywhere? Or not,
yeah,
wood, like the tannish wood color everywhere.
I know. Yeah.
I would think you would put like maybe like a cushion or something. Like if it's a dinner table, that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you gotta need some cushions.
But like if it's like a couch,
yeah,
that's gonna hurt.
I've sat in some of those wooden like molded things, and if they do it right,
yeah, if you do it right, it's fine.
It's comfortable.
But it's the ones that aren't right. You need a cushion for.
Yeah.
And sometimes a cushion doesn't even help.
Yeah.
But.
So. You know. So rounding back around. Charlie, what kind of story did you bring for that? And so while you're bringing up the story again, in Talking Tech, feel free to ask your burning technology questions. Ask us questions about what's going on with your printers, your wireless, whatever. We'll do our best to answer it. And if we can't answer it online, we'll answer it. We'll get back to you via email. We'll reach out to you via social media and answer it then.
Yes.
So even if we can't do it live, we'll do it at some point.
So I'm going to go to the world of audio. So I'm going to move from 3D printing to audio.
Okay.
So a company named Razer. Most people know them for gaming materials and things like that.
Razer mice?
Yeah, like the keyboards. Mice and keyboards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of started getting into the whole, they also make like headsets and things.
Yeah,
well, they
yeah.
bought out THX.
Seriously?
A while ago. Or they partnered with THX.
I don't think they bought out THX because THX is like,
yeah, in
Lucas
partnership,
owns that.
I think, quote unquote here, they partnered with them
and
bought a part of THX for this.
Or invested into the company, yeah.
But a lot of their surround sound stuff has gone through THX.
Yeah.
So they are working on currently a sound bar.
Okay.
Or a sound setup that can do 3D audio from a bar. So a sound bar.
Okay.
But it will track your head as it goes around the room.
Okay.
So it can force the audio to
So does
that
it have
spot.
like something like a Kinect?
As an IR camera.
Like an IR camera, so it's like watching
or AR camera, which what was it?
AR.
IR.
IR,
it's
yeah,
an IR camera.
Because it's just, which yeah. AR would be frightening.
Yeah. I mean it's getting there.
It's getting there.
It's scary, but it's getting there.
There.
So like it just tracks your head.
Yeah.
And as you move around the room, it just
it micro adjusts.
Yeah,
the,
it just
the
adjusts
stuff, yeah.
the volumes to either that side, this side. In front of you, everything else, or not in front of you. Well, technically, it's already in front of
you. It's in front
of you,
yeah.
But
if you have surround sound, it's behind you,
well,
underneath
you,
above you,
yeah.
around you.
I mean, seeing how surround sound systems have kind of gone from everywhere in this room or one part of the room
to everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, because I run a 7.1 at home.
Yeah.
You know, so I got speakers every friggin' place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen people do setups of like the wireless ones that are like in every spot of the room.
Yeah.
I've seen the original very fun Creative Labs ones.
Oh, I love
where
Creative.
Just
I
like
have one of those
the
in the basement.
Speakers are sitting in front of you, and then there's like these really weird metal arms that come around your head, and then there's two speakers behind you.
Yep. I have one of those.
Oh yes, yes. I watched a guy set one up the other day, and it's kind
of
fun.
There's a new piece of mobile furniture I keep seeing advertised constantly, where you actually have like a kicker. And some
oh,
speakers
is it
built
that?
Into it.
Yeah, it's the I'm not gonna name drop, but it's the
but
interchangeable couch thing.
The interchangeable
yeah,
couch.
Because you can put speakers in it here, and then you can put like wireless chargers in it.
Yeah,
and all
what
that
I can't
kind
figure out
stuff.
Is they don't tell you how many cords you're gonna have like running from your couch. They show it in the middle of a room, and I'm like, either you have floor outlets,
yeah,
you know, which
or,
is rare in a house,
yeah,
you know, or like you've got all this thing run underneath the carpet or with tracks or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then how mobile is it if you have to have floor outlets? You know what I mean? So
I mean, you can't really move it very far.
I don't know. That's for another story. We're going to investigate that.
That'd be something to be. Yeah. That'd be interesting to investigate.
That's cool.
But yeah, so I don't know if they're ever going to incorporate into other forms of media instead of just because right now it's forcing it into like games.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. But for right now, I want to see it move into the movie part of things. Like if you're like mini home theater, but all at the same time, I don't see how that would work because it would detect too many faces.
I mean, that's the thing that I still enjoy about going to a movie theater is the theater experience for sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like whatever, well, Avatar, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, part of the whole reason to go see it in the theater is one, because it's gigantic, but two, you've got that great sound that rumbles and follows. And,
you got the actual tuned sound.
Exactly. I mean, you know, an X-Wing flies by you and you get the Doppler effect.
Yeah,
I mean,
can hear it go
that's
past
why,
you.
That's why I go to movie theaters for that kind of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't go to it to see drama because, you know, someone wistfully, you know, thinking about their lost love does not use the surround sound.
As it should.
Yeah, that would be disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. So Morgan, do you have any stories you want to throw in yet? Okay. You're just going to run it. You're allowed to talk. I know. Okay. So, one of the things that like our group has been probably following quite a bit is the open gaming license from, Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast. So if you're not familiar, the open gaming license is basically, a license from Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast for the Dungeons & Dragons game system that allows other publishers and other entities to basically create content for Dungeons & Dragons using their properties and stuff like that. And it's a licensing agreement. A lot of video games use it in the background as well. And so Wizards of the Coast Hasbro has released a new version of the Open Gaming License. And a lot of people are upset about it because it's looking for monetary compensation. It's looking for rights and some other stuff. And I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty of it because, frankly, it's still an evolving thing. There was a leak, and so the information got out, and so people are running with it. But yet, there's no really official announcement at all.
That doesn't mean that they're still in the editing process
exactly,
or anything
else. Or they're reacting to. They leaked this thing out to see how many people would lose their minds.
Well, that's to say if it's actually truly real or
exactly,
not.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
But to kind of go back around to this open gaming license, this whole open license concept, we take it for granted because, you know, a lot of the images and a lot of the stuff and music and sounds that you see in movies and television, some of the YouTube stuff that we do here, we do under Creative Commons licensing or open licensing in some way or another. So this whole open license thing is a big deal for a lot of content creators like we, like us, as well as the things you use every day. Again, there is a lot of products that you take for granted, like mixers, stoves, refrigerators that all use an open license because someone has the rights to certain bits of technology. And the only way that you're going to be able to get it out to have other people modify it, add to it, whatever, is this open license. And so it's kind of interesting to follow the gaming part because we all, most of us in the building are gamers in some form or another, especially tabletop gamers. And we have one of the, you know, shameless plug, Madison Public Library has one of the largest collections of tabletop games across the spectrum of varying different licensing and different games than any other library in the whole area. So, yeah, it's one of the largest. So this is kind of an evolving story. It's interesting to kind of watch this open license. And, you know, the fact that it ties directly into not only games, but like every aspect, these concepts of these open licenses. Yeah. Now, Hasbro doesn't own, you know, the license for your TV or your car, but someone else does. You know, one of the fascinating things is who owns some of these licenses. You know, Michael Jackson, before he passed away, owned a whole bunch of licensing for technology. Prince owned a whole bunch of licensing for technology. You know, people that are musicians that you don't really think is like, you know, you expect an Elon Musk or a Bill Gates to own technology. Oh, yeah. But like these musicians had portfolios of all these technology licenses. You know, I can't think of who it is, owns part of the license for Bluetooth. I can't remember who owns, there's somebody famous that owns a part of the license for Bluetooth.
So it's kind of fascinating to see.
So what else you got in your queue of stories?
Let's see.
While Charlie's looking up, feel free to ask us any technology questions in the chat. Or even just drop in and say hi. We love to say hi back to know that some of you are watching and listening. So we always appreciate that.
So you know how a lot of things have started getting like micro screens?
Yeah, yeah.
On things?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like how like mice, keyboards,
yeah, everything and
got
things
got like a little OLED touchscreen or something like that.
Yeah.
What if they were on an AirPod case? Not necessarily straight up AirPods, but they were just on an AirPod case.
But what would you do with it?
It would just be tapping through, like just skipping songs, hitting play and pause, turning on your noise canceling.
I could see it as like how much power you have on
It would show you AirPods. That too.
I would see something like on and off. You know, your Bluetooth status,
yeah,
you know, or whatever, but like skipping songs. I mean,
and then it's supposed to show slight notifications.
Yeah, I don't kind of
like watches, how they kind of show you.
That's my thing with like, you know, with my watch, you know, and your watch the same way. Because I do use my watch as my my control for my my music,
yeah,
because usually the phone is in a coat or like on a mowing grass, it's in the cup holder, and I've got the wireless headphones on. And so I control all of my stuff from my watch because that's what's most accessible. But my watch is attached to me.
Yes.
The case for the headphones is the same as having, I might as well have the phone in my hand.
Yeah.
I don't see the...
Because essentially it's the same thing as what JBL is trying to do.
Uh-huh.
It's
so similar to
like your smartwatches.
Yeah, yeah.
It connects to your phone.
Uh-huh.
And then it will display notifications. It will display your connection status to it. It will be able to turn on and off active noise canceling and everything else, all from that little tiny LCD screen from the case.
Okay.
That's essentially what it is.
I
don't know why, but I don't like it that much.
All right. What do you think, Morgan? Because you use wireless headphones a lot.
Would it be able to like change different modes? I know some have like they have noise canceling mode, but you can turn that off so you can hear.
Yeah.
Could you do that?
There's a switch that turns it on and off.
It kind of eliminates the need for like having an app.
Well, there's some, like I have some at home too, that you have to turn it on and off through the app. You can't turn it on and off through your phone.
That's how my headphones are.
This one is supposed to just be built in to the case. Now that doesn't mean that you have to install the JBL app for it to actually function between the phone and here.
Yeah.
But I read into it as it was just, it kind of just controls itself for the most part. And that's mainly what it's for.
I could sort of see your thing about turning noise canceling on and off, because there are environments where, you know, it's fine to not have the noise canceling on. You want to hear everything around you, you know, and whatnot. I mean, because I do use, I will say, you know, for clarity or whatever, not clarity, but I use JBL as my my headphones. I don't use earbuds. I use over the ear headphones because I purposely use them as noise canceling for. Working on equipment, you know, like running the mower or the track or being on the tractor and using the bucket and whatnot. I do use that as a safety thing in my case because they're construction grade JBLs and stuff. So I don't generally turn off the noise canceling, but if I was running using earbuds and I was like walking in and out of stores, you know, as I was on a walk or whatever, I could see that as handy.
Yeah.
Because I will say it is annoying because sometimes mine just turns off for no good reason, the noise canceling. And so I have to open up my phone, go to the app, turn it back on, get out of the app, go back to my music.
It's a back and forth process to try to turn on and off.
Yeah.
You know.
And I also, I will say, because I'm not sure.
Now, see, what I'm surprised
nerd,
about those is that it doesn't have like a switch on the headset.
There's
anyway.
Not a switch on the headset. It's meant to have the least number of things that could get. At least mine.
Yeah.
At least
I mean,
things
it makes
that get
sense.
Broken. Because they're, like I said, because they're, I've found, construction grade version. Because
I've seen like construction grade ones from like, I don't know, like at Home Depot and stuff like that, uh-huh. from like 3M, and they have, I think that some of them have switches.
Some of them have switches. Turn yeah, them on the Ryobi off. Has switches. I know yeah. that because my friend
there's
uses
a,
the
there's
Ryobi
a few
ones.
That just you can switch it on and off as you're mm-hmm. instead of like pulling out your phone, and they're Bluetooth connected too.
Yeah.
So you can do your music and everything
yeah,
for
yeah.
those.
Oh, that's yeah. The mine's Bluetooth and handy and all that stuff. My friend uses a set of Ryobis similar.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't figure out why I would care about the case. Being basically an
essentially
thing.
It's like but like so I'm thinking it's going to be like how you know like how you have to do your watches with like the eSIM stuff
yeah
like you don't have to put a SIM in it but you know it's connected to a network
yeah
it's assuming what it's going
to
be
my phone or my
you have
watch
to pay an extra gotta pay an extra phone plan for your iPhone or AirPod case basically
yeah. weird
it's definitely a weird one.
Yep. No, that's a weird one.
Because
that's
it's essentially
one.
Just like, hey,
so,
we're going to
okay.
take a case with you.
So this is technically one of our only product reviews. So do you guys want to do a product review thing? We'll do thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. So what's your overall vibe? Is it a thumbs up? Is it a thumbs down? Or is it a thumbs in the middle?
I'm going to give thumbs in the middle because you won't need an app anymore. But also, I don't care if the case with me when I use earbuds.
So you're ambivalent. So Morgan's ambivalent. Where are you at, Charlie?
I'd probably do the same.
You're ambivalent.
Considering the fact that like most earphones or like even like little earbuds and stuff like that, they all have some of them have touch controls now.
Yeah.
Right. Essentially, what they could do is more touch functions to earpieces.
I have my earbuds do that. To check
yeah.
modes, I hold it for 3 seconds.
Exactly. There's most of them already have touch. Things for it, so you don't have to pull the case out. You don't have to really pull anything out. It's using the touch things for it.
Uh-huh.
I don't see. I mean, the screen might be nice if you're really trying to check your battery level for everything. But like, other than that, your phone can also track that too, as mm-hmm. long as it's compatible with whatever Bluetooth version it is. I can't remember. I think batteries started showing up around 2,
mm.
something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I have to go back through Bluetooth standards again.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's
like,
two. It's 2.
So yeah. it's kind of like, I see the use for it. I see it being easy.
So you're ambivalent.
Your
Morgan's
yeah.
ambivalent. I'm like, nah.
It's just kind of like,
I'm not.
It's there.
Nah. I mean, if it was there and it just was there,
I mean,
I wouldn't go out of my way for it.
I feel like at this point, people are just going to, people are going to buy it for the JBL logo.
Well,
right?
I mean, they do make very good equipment.
I mean, they do. I'm not saying that they don't
again,
make great
for clarity,
equipment.
That's what I use at home.
I definitely think it's definitely
and
a
have
step
used for a while.
It's definitely a step out of the typical direction of most headphones that have been coming out recently. But like, I feel like it's definitely a little bit not. It's like it's kind of like the step of a step and a half of things. Like yeah. it's like the Wii to the Wii U.
Yeah.
It was literally like a half step up to a new console sort of thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It was a knee-jerky thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of like that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe
they'll
find some more uses with it.
Yeah. Maybe. But it's also one other thing that could have software update failure and other things.
Yeah.
Well, it's like how I brought up the car thing from Spotify a few times ago.
Yeah.
People have been not using them in cars, but they've been using them at their home PCs
uh-huh.
and using them as audio DACs.
Yeah.
Just so that they can play and pause music as
yeah.
and they can keep their phone put away and it just controls the music while they're sitting
yeah.
there on
yeah.
their computers.
So a tangent from that, since more and more vehicles have some sort of connectivity,
mm-hmm.
you know, anytime there's a device that someone can mess with, they're going to. So I hate calling it the hacker community because it sounds so weird. People who do penetration testing and mess with devices and things like that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Have been looking into all of these connected vehicles
mm-hmm.
that either have some sort of SIM connection. So we're going all the way back to OnStar.
Okay.
All of these vehicles that have these connections, a lot of them have telemetry, so you know where the vehicle is, what it's doing, all that stuff. Control of the locks and all of that.
Okay.
They're finding that there's very little security on some of these connections.
Yep.
And so it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to hijack the signal and send your own information or record information from these things. So, you know, we had this assumption that, you know, it was a closed loop network, and it sort of is, and it still sort of is. So, I mean, you know, OnStar is a closed loop.
I say this is where I bring the air quotes.
Yeah, it's air quoting. It's air quoting.
Yeah.
So OnStar is a closed loop network, and some of these other entities are closed loop networks, meaning that they're not really connected to the outside world per se.
Yeah.
But anytime you can get near or have physical access to a vehicle, there are ways to get around some of their less than stellar security protocols and have conversations with the vehicle. So theoretically, I could be driving behind you and have access to the telemetry from your vehicle if I knew what I was doing, what kind of vehicle you're set up, all of that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that people are driving around hacking every car under the sun, because that's just improbable. But what I'm saying is that the ability to do it is not stellar.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an expert. And in fact, most hacking, and again, I hate that word, it's just like nails on a chalkboard, are automated and scripted, meaning that literally it's like following a recipe. Do this, do this, do this, send this signal and see if it responds. You do not have to have a lot of skill to do that. We affectionately call those folks in our community script kiddies, because they follow the script.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say they're awesome and hacker stuff, and it nails on a chalkboard.
Yes. They post to the local hacker group and say, I did it, guys.
Yeah. And they're like,
be proud of me.
I read.
Cool.
So we're all good for them reading, because we're a library.
Yes.
So it's going to be an interesting world to see where we're at with all of these vehicles. And, you know, some of these companies that used to support these services don't exist anymore. You know, I had said OnStar, they're still around, but there are a couple other services that just the company folded.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these protocols are just out there. You can talk to the car. Now, from my perspective, I just hit my microphone. From my perspective, the cool thing is that, you know, some of these things are open, so you can connect to the ports on your car and make alterations,
mm-hmm.
which is also cool. So you can, you know, tune your car and get a little more gas efficiency, which is really nice right about now. But you can also turn on features that you never had before. Like my friend was able to basically set it up so that his, because he always turned on his fog lights.
Yeah.
But his car has a button that you have to always pull it out. And
yeah.
It's really easy to hit. So he was able to go into his software and basically just override the button and just have them on all the time.
Hmm.
Now, it does turn off because there is a law in Ohio. You can't have your fog lights and your high beams on at the same time. They do turn off for that. But all the rest of his time, he has his fog lights on. And it was just something silly and kind of just silly about that. But, you know, it was a thing and we just did it. We made the change. It's pretty easy. So what else you got, Charlie? Got any stories, Morgan?
So another interesting piece of technology here.
Okay.
How would you feel about a $3,000 TV?
A $3,000 TV? I'm back at the beginning of LCD and plasma TVs.
Exactly. But what if I could say that you could put it on any wall?
Any wall.
Doesn't have to have a plug nearby.
Ooh, battery powered.
Yes, it's battery powered. It's going to be interesting. And
I have questions.
How it sticks to the wall is vacuum suction.
And 3,000 TVs, $3,000 TVs falling off a wall, pulling the plaster down.
All of the connections are wireless.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I've used wireless HDMI and some of those protocols. I hope they're better than when I used them a couple of years ago,
because
they were terrible. But okay, suction to the wall. To the wall.
And it's battery powered.
And it's battery powered.
Mind you that, yes.
Could you imagine being in the middle of
like a movie and
or
then
like the Super Bowl or some sport or the World Cup or something you're really into?
Just onto the ground.
It falls off, or your TV just dies because the battery's dead.
Well,
could you imagine that?
The idea is that those batteries are hot swappable.
Still.
I know. But hot swappable batteries, they're using LG's brand new signature OLED M.
Yeah, okay.
Which eliminates every need for a wire
to
plug
yeah.
into the TV besides the power cable.
Yeah, yeah.
But they took it farther and just incorporated batteries.
Yeah.
So that it can...
And OLEDs tend to use a lot less power. They're very good at saving power.
Yes.
I guess where I'm at a little bit is still back to that suction on the wall thing, because I have like textured walls. Morgan, your house is a bit older, isn't it?
It is.
You guys have plaster on your walls?
We do.
Yeah.
The old plaster.
So I mean, you have a pretty textured wall, plus it's plaster, which I mean I'm not knocking plaster, but plaster sometimes has a habit of pulling away from the lath and all that stuff. Charlie, what's your house? Your parents' house is kind of new, isn't it?
Newer, yeah. 2000.
You got textured walls at all?
Probably similar to what that wall back there is.
Okay, so that's not textured. That's just flat wall. I've got like texture on my walls. There's like, you know, it's not quite popcorn.
Yeah.
Because my house was built in the 70s. Not quite popcorn, but it's got like texture. Nothing's going to stick to my wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, nothing's going to stick to my wall.
Yeah. Like they were showing it off mainly on like glass. They're mainly showing it off like just flat surfaces. So you know, I don't know, why would you have metal walls? But metal walls.
Well, I could see this in
flat
an office.
Flat plaster walls.
You know, in an office stuff. Or some more industrial setting. You know, like I just watched
a
video.
Do you have to suction near a stud in the wall?
No. Well, theoretically, you would need the support, but no, you wouldn't have to. You know, it's a good question, Melanie.
Yeah. Because the whole idea is that so there's four batteries in total that are powering
this
thing.
That's a lot of weight, too.
It is a lot of weight. Supposedly, it doesn't weigh that much, from what I've understood.
How often do you need to charge your TV?
Well, that's a great question, but this is also a CES product, so it's not
done yet. Yeah, I'm just watching the video of the guy taking
the TV off
the wall.
Yeah, the guy he literally just takes it right off. It doesn't seem like it's very heavy at all.
I've mounted so many TVs that doesn't work. That never works that way.
Yeah,
that's like backbreaking.
But the essential thing is that you can pull out the battery, swap it out with a new one before it dies. No, there's basically like a pull.
You just pull
it out, sort of thing.
Quick change
stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
But you have to specifically use, if you want to use this TV, you have to have a specific connect box. All right. So all your HDMIs go to that box.
Have to have the right kind of receiver on a private channel.
Exactly. So it goes to that TV only.
Roll.
I'll stick to my HDMI connection.
I'm down on this one.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
it's cool about the anywhere on the wall sort of thing. But even then, can I have a plug?
Yeah.
To make sure that it
lasts. The wall doesn't do a thing for me, because generally I set up my TV viewing. You know, like I got my chair, I got my environment. I don't have, you know, I have my sound set up a certain way.
I don't plan on just moving it
around.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like, I don't know. So
you used it to like replace the projectors in the house. So you could just set it up outside. You didn't have anything to suction it to.
Yeah, but then you deal with, is this thing, you know, outside rated, you know?
Yeah, does it have enough lumen to actually show a decent picture on the screen?
Because it is kind of funny. I was looking at, because there's a lot of restaurants around us that have been adding TVs, and they add them in protection boxes because they can only use them for part of the year because the snow and whatnot still affects them, even though they're outdoor TVs.
Yeah, I would say me taking yearly trips to Cedar Point, Kings Island, and half the TVs that were working last year are now not working at all. Because that just happens. And they're outdoor grade TVs in outdoor boxes.
Yeah. The funny thing is when I added on a deck to my house, we added on a covered area, you know, a sitting area, an outdoor room. Ooh. And the contractor said, hey, do you want me to wire this up for a TV? Knowing that I'm a technology guy, because he's known me my entire life. And I said, no, Matt, I want to go outside and listen to animals. He's just laughing. He's like, yeah, because I live near woods. I live pretty far out from humanity. And like, no, I'm out here to listen to bugs and birds and woods. I'm not going to watch TV. If I want to watch TV, I'm going to go back inside, you know? So I guess I should jump to one of the bigger stories as of late.
Yeah.
Well,
what
would
that
days ago, I could see you picking up a TV and taking it with a bathroom with you. Now that's interesting.
Now see, I've had friends.
Yeah.
When in school, when they were sick and they were basically strapped to the toilet for however long, their parents would take like a little end table, little TV and set it up in there for them to just sit there and have them deal with their problems there.
Yeah.
and then when they were done, just move it back out.
Wow, we have reached a new level on this, because I do have a story about
like
on that same level too. So, yeah, my friend in his first apartment that he shared with a bunch of guys in college, they had mounted a TV in the bathroom.
Oh yeah.
I've
heard of hotels that did it too.
I've been in hotels where there's TVs behind the mirror,
mm-hmm.
fancy TVs. They sort of did that. They got two-way glass and they mounted a TV in there so that when they could watch TV while they were brushing their teeth and shaving and stuff in the morning, because they were all engineers and computer people, so yeah. Uber nerds. So the big story, which I should have led off with, but I didn't feel like it. The FAA grounded all air travel.
I heard about that
the other day. Everything, not a single commercial or private plane was allowed to fly in the entirety of the United States, and I think portions of Canada and Mexico because of the whole airspace overlap or whatever. So it wasn't hacking. It wasn't a malicious thing.
I heard about what the thing
was. It wasn't a malicious thing from like an outside agent or anything like that. So, you know, and it wasn't internal, someone sabotaged. Nope. It was a damaged database file.
Mm-hmm.
So someone wasn't doing a database integrity check, you know, basically running an index on their database regularly and doing what we call garbage cleanup and stuff on the database. Stuff that we do with the library databases all the time as part of normal maintenance. Apparently the FAA had done that for a while, or it had an error while doing it and didn't have a good backup. And literally all commercial and private air traffic stopped, because they wouldn't allow it to fly, because basically what went down was the things that kept track of all of the planes everywhere. Now, of course, the U.S. military, Navy, et cetera, all that, they were all able to fly, because that's a whole different system that's, you know, it's meant to be sequestered. So how about that? So always clean up your databases, run your nightly maintenance if you can, you know, run your garbage collection, all that stuff. Someone tell the FAA to do that as well.
So we went from Southwest canceling a bunch of flights just after Christmas,
uh-huh,
right, and after New Year's,
to everybody
is not leaving.
Everybody
doesn't matter which airline you chose.
Everybody chills out. So it is kind of silly. It is kind of funny in a way, but it's also very sad because I'm thinking we don't have enough redundancy built into this system.
Yeah.
That one database couldn't be
one file
replicated
out of that
synchronized or I don't know. Yeah, that one's out there. So what else you got there? What else you got there?
I guess I could go. Ooh, you know, I'm going to talk about this fish tank.
You're going to talk about the fish tank
thing.
Okay, Morgan hasn't. I'm going to watch Morgan's reaction to this one.
So
she hasn't heard this story yet. Charlie and I were talking about this in the office while Morgan was out working in the.
So literally the title is GBPS, guppies boiled per second. Okay. So in reference to that is a PC case that has a fish tank, full functioning fish tank on top of it. Okay, I saw someone review this. No, not so like
more
wide,
horizontal.
It's so like the PC is laying on its side, and then the tank is on top of it.
Yeah,
that's the idea of it. So, I saw someone review this case on YouTube a few days ago. He bought a bunch of PC parts. He put it in there, and he said it probably should not be for fish. Even though he said he did a temperature test and everything else, he let it run for hours, and he said it didn't really raise it that much. But he really wasn't doing much on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if it's a casual PC, maybe.
Yeah.
But
I mean, because that's real water. That's real fish.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, back in the day, and I mean, this makes me sound like I'm ancient, but back in the day, I used to build fish tank PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got a fish tank and I put a motherboard and
mineral oil.
In mineral oil. And I would take the fans and have all the connections at the top, and I would put in the fake gravel and sink in all the plants, and then I would hang with wires, you know,
like
fake
little
fish.
Yeah, little tiny fish. Yeah.
And it was a har, it was funny. People liked it when I made them, you know, and it actually ran pretty good because the mineral oil was a better coolant than air.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we ended up with liquid cooled PCs down the road. But yeah, I'd have the whole motherboard, I'd take all the fans and stuff out and just have the whole motherboard sunk into the mineral oil, and basically just the on the top of the fish tank was all of your connections for your video and audio and all that stuff. I used to do that. I made a lot of those, actually.
I'll say there's a specific guy on YouTube that I watch. He reviews like really old tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For one of his videos, it was called Oddware. He found a Lian Li fish tank side panel.
Yeah.
And so all it was just a little bubble blower with water and some gravel and little plastic fish.
Yep.
And it would just kind of push it and like put it through a loop.
That was awesome and at
it
one
was,
point.
It was the same guy that did that video. He reviewed this case, put modern things in it, and just was like, this is how it is, but I still would suggest not.
Yeah, I don't want... No fish will be harmed during the use of any of equipment at our library.
Well, I think I think the other thing was too is that the video that I was watching, you could see like from the filter or from the pump, you could see all the water just kind of start shooting up from the bubbles.
Oh.
I think he filled a little too high.
Terror.
But like you could see it just flinging.
Oh my gosh.
Because there's a light that it comes with, too. So it just shoots up everywhere. And I'm like, you're going to kill a PC within the next 5 minutes if you keep letting it run that long. But supposedly he left it on overnight, didn't kill it.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Yeah, I think it's an interesting little thing.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
So fish tank PCs are making a comeback.
Fish tank PCs. Okay. So, yeah, we might as well go down the weird rabbit hole anyway.
Yeah.
So Consumer Electronics Products Show has kind of just been out. And so this is when all the weird gadgets have come out. So this one actually sort of makes sense to me in some ways. There's a company, and it's Withings.
Okay. It's this product.
Withings. Toilet bowl urine analyzer. So it is a Bluetooth device that you mount inside of your toilet. And it analyzes your urine.
So kind of like those toilet bowl cleaner gel things.
It looks just like one of those things you mount on the side of your toilet to keep it blue and fresh smelling. Yeah. But what this device does is when, as we all have to do, use the restroom, it analyzes the urine in there to check for basically all the things that you normally would do for a regular urine test. So, you know, for some folks, it's checking for their sugar. For some folks, it's checking for, I can't think of all the stuff. Like in my case, it checks for things involving kidney stones and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So in your home tech, your home health devices, because there's more and more home health devices. I don't know about your watch, Charlie, but mine keeps my heart rate and checks a bunch of odds and ends about me.
Yeah. I don't think I have it turned on, though.
It so checks my movement, my heart rate. So we're wearing more and more medical tech. Now you can have basically a smart toilet that will check and send you updates. Now, for someone who's managing their sugar, this could be a great product. For someone like me who, you know, has frequent kidney stones, and it may look for certain factors in that and like tell me ahead of time that a giant kidney stone is on its way.
It's on the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to make the world any better for me. It's just going to say, get ready. It's the giant stone is finding its way out.
Just imagine it's like this, like some real funny animation. It's like, it's on the way.
Yeah. There's nothing funny about kidney stones.
I know there's not, but there's not like they're thing. Trying to make it funny there's for the person about, that's about to have
There's not a thing about
it.
Diabetes. There's not a thing about kidney stones. It's
I know.
But yeah, this device is kind of funny. So,
hope it's not it doesn't suck to clean.
That was like the first thing I went to in my head is like, okay, this is one of the dirtier places in your house, and you're now putting this device, because normally the toilet bowl things dissolve when they go away and you throw away the wire.
This is permanently
there. This is like a tech thing you hang.
Is it? I would assume it's battery powered.
Yeah. So, oh man, I just
you have to charge it unless it has. Oh, but I can't see why you would put batteries next to something that involves consistent water flow.
No water.
No, that would be
no
bad.
Changeable batteries.
Oh man.
You
have to take it out and charge it at points.
Whoo.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not the...
Again.
Now, I could see one day that a toilet brand like Moen or something just collabs and builds it in, right?
I'll tell you what.
I could see that.
Because I've seen some incredibly
They're some interesting fancy smart toilets.
Smart toilets out of Japan that, you know, have heated seats and I mean an amazing amount of functionality.
Yeah, everything you get out of a luxury car.
Yeah.
You get out of a luxury toilet.
Background music, anything like this, you can be entertained while you're in there. Probably has a TV that you don't have to mount on the wall with a suction cup.
Just comes out of the
pops out on the side.
Just comes out in front of you.
Man, this is a great way to lead off the year. It's one of the weirdest talking techs we have ever done.
Well, okay. Whenever CES happens, weird tech just happens.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, every year, I think both Charlie and I look forward to CES just to see
what
on earth people are cranking out there. Yeah. There's something about that.
There's some things at CES I'm just like, why does this exist?
I mean, I love the ingenuity of it all, but there's also part of me going, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Really? This is where we're at, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what else you got there, Charlie?
Let's see. Oh, we can talk about some Tesla stuff since I know there's a few people around here that may or may not have Tesla.
Yeah.
So
how did you get on the subject of toilets? I will blame Charlie initially.
No. You were the one that came up with the story.
So
all right?
We just finished the story, but so the subject of toilets is that there's a smart device that analyzes urine that you can now mount in your toilet that was just released in the Consumer Electronics Show. So, yeah, so that's how we got on the subject of toilets.
Yes.
So we have gone down
significantly. Now we're moving out of the way of toilets to Tesla. Conveniently, the next T over.
The next T over, yeah.
So the latest update for this Tesla
is
not any safety features, not any updates to its self-driving.
They need a safety feature after a huge accident recently.
not an update to their self-driving system, nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know what it adds?
What does it add?
Entertainment.
Because that's the one thing I need while
and
driving.
And you know what kind of entertainment?
What kind of entertainment?
Pure video game entertainment.
There's nothing that says that's going to be a horrible idea like playing games while driving. I see no
issues. just has the autopilot engaged playing some game off of Steam.
I'll be honest with you. My hour drive up Interstate 11.
Oh yeah.
If I had a self-driving car that kept me in my lanes and all that stuff, entertainment would be handy because I used to drive down to Columbus all the time, and that 71 drive, aside from the beautifulness of Grandpa's Cheese Barn
that you get to drive past.
Oh yeah, no, I don't drive past it. I stop each way. Oh yeah. Hey Wendy. I should say hello to all the people who have been watching because Wendy's been on, Melanie's been on, my mom's been on, Charlie's mom was on, my friend Erica's on. So shout out to all of you. Margaret's on one of our – Margaret is like our number one one watcher.
Margaret's here all the time.
Yeah. Morgan almost fell out of her – see, we need a Morgan cam so we can see her almost fall out of her chair. So games on the Tesla
that
huh?
And it re-adds Apple Music because on the original
Tesla
had Apple.
Yeah,
now they're re-adding it again.
So Tesla
they
and
must
Apple
have
made up again?
They must made up again. Yeah,
oh, that's nice. It won't last long.
But the whole Steam thing, okay, they added Steam to the whole thing.
Okay, because, so it's Steam.
Yes, so you could connect your Steam library,
okay,
to your car.
All right. So for folks watching out there who may not know what Steam is a video game service that actually allows you to play new games and old games. Mm-hmm. But how Steam does is the cool thing about Steam is that really the games, all of the game like hardware is happening somewhere else. And you're just seeing the video and mm-hmm. interacting with it. So it's a real thin way of interacting with the game.
I think the funniest thing that you said that, but there's actually enough hardware in the Tesla to run it by itself. You know why?
Why?
Because of AMD processors that
he
bought.
Make great graphics processors and game processors.
So considering the fact that he can do a built-in system, like he's talking about here, is the exact same thing. But the car can actually run it itself. Now, understand, I don't know how that will affect the car's battery performance.
Yeah, I can see it now.
Depending on how you run that game.
Yeah,
and for how often you play it, you might be stranded in the middle of somewhere, and you're just like, "Dang, I shouldn't have been playing What's an example on
battery
here?
Cuphead. For my drive.
I've been playing too much Stardew Valley
Cuphead,
and
yeah.
everything else.
Morgan said missed us last week. Yeah, we had to postpone last week because of the whole New
the
Year thing and
the craziness of New Year's
and getting everything back in such. So
especially
yeah.
coming off of the holiday breaks
holiday break
and all that
things.
Crazy stuff. So.
So going back to the Tesla thing. So you ready for the Inception moment? You're playing a driving game while your car is driving.
Exactly. You play some form of racing game.
Playing
like,
dirt.
Yeah, something like that.
Playing dirt while
just
watching
like,
Tesla go.
Yeah.
You're actually just driving.
Because yeah, it's Inception all the way back around again.
Oh yeah.
So you're playing a game that's actually driving your car because it's a self-driving car, or maybe you're driving someone else's car. Frightening.
I'm waiting for the day that Elon Musk allows us to connect a controller to the car and let us drive it from standing far away from it and just sending it around tracks.
actually, some of that you can do with your phone.
Well, you can do the call for.
You can call for, and they do have the return.
Yeah.
You guys know about the return, right? Morgan, do you know about the return? If you don't pay your bills, the Tesla dealership can recall the car and it will drive home.
It will just drive
it'll
itself
drive home.
Home.
It will leave like your driveway, as long as you're not like garaged. It'll leave your driveway, parking deck, wherever, and drive back to the dealership. It's the greatest repossession thing ever.
instead of calling a repo company to say,
yeah,
hey.
It just drives itself home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it literally just drives itself
home. As long
home.
As it has enough battery to make it home, right?
Battery and ability to go. I mean, it's not gonna burst out of someone's garage through the door.
Just imagine the Tesla just shoots out of the garage and back to its.
So it would be like having a pet. I don't know if you all have had like runner dogs or cats.
Yeah.
You know, you're afraid to open that door because you know the dog or the cat's gonna burst out of the door. Could you imagine? Why aren't you opening your garage, Bob?
My car's
well,
trying to run away.
I haven't paid my bill, and I think my car is going to run away. I think it's going to run away, so don't open the garage because it'll get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to go find it. What's that?
What happens if you're in the car?
Well, I think they also, because they do have a sensor to know the passengers are in there. I don't think it won't steal you. It's not going to hijack you.
Just imagine you're on like a road trip somewhere and it's like, hey, I haven't made your payment this month, bud. You're going back to the dealership. Just
yeah, or it locks
reverts.
You up and pulls over.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, dude. I could see that for a car thief. Lock them up in the car, pull over and like, okay, dude, wait for the cops to show up. Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, saying that and then going over to Honda and Sony doing a partnership
yeah.
and possibly putting a PS5 into cars.
Yeah. See,
I think
Fast and the Furious movies where all the folks are lined up with their cars and there's a guy in one of his tuner cars playing like a PS2.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like mounted in the dash. It's like and it you know, when you
he's just going
when
for
you're
it.
Watching that
yeah.
movie, you're like, oh, that was so cool. And nowadays you're like, yeah, that was okay.
This is average now.
Yeah, it's average now. PlayStation 5 in the car, huh?
Yes.
So Apple playing nice with others. Because we don't talk about Apple playing nice with others.
Yeah,
never,
usually Apple never likes to play nice with
people. Because we usually are like kind of bagging on Apple for not playing nice with others.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have Windows 11, you might notice that in a stealth kind of way, Apple Music and Apple TV apps are available in your menu of apps.
Hmm.
They didn't make any fanfare. They didn't do an announcement. There's no big thing. They're just there. Because this is a pretty big deal that Apple is allowing their content somewhere else other than their own devices. You know, again, maybe...
Yeah, not locked behind an Apple device anymore.
Not locked behind something, yeah. So that's unique.
Well,
that's different.
Apple Music and iTunes really wasn't locked behind your... Or Apple,
yeah,
necessarily.
Correct.
I mean, you had to download iTunes to get
yeah.
to Apple Music. But at least Apple Music wasn't locked behind anything. Mm-hmm. Now, Apple TV was...
You had to have an Apple TV or a compatible device, yeah.
Yes. So I guess it's kind of nice to see that.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll be honest around. With you. I don't need another streaming thing. I really don't. But there, of course, are things I really want to watch on Apple.
Yeah.
And I don't want to buy an Apple TV because I don't want one, you know, to watch that thing. And then I would like literally cancel my subscription. It's like people
you watch
who
that
get,
one season of one thing.
It's like
and
people
then it
who
sort
get streaming service
done.
Just to watch the one season of whatever it is and then cancel it.
Yeah.
So you sort of slipped in your PlayStation 5 one, so I'll add I'll add another guy in there. So let's go back to Microsoft. So Microsoft is investing $10 billion with a B into ChatGPT.
Okay.
So, are you familiar with ChatGPT? So ChatGPT is an AI interface. Most famously recently for, I'm going to read the direct quote. If I find my, ChatGPT wrote my AP English essay and I passed. It is a, Margaret's got a question. So let me answer Margaret's question before I go on. Should we upgrade to Windows 11? To be honest with you, I'm kind of okay with it. Charlie's waving his hand back and forth. I'm saying it's worth doing as long as your system can handle it. I feel like 11 fixes some stuff in 10 that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So the interface is a bit different. It's more Mac-like, in my opinion.
I will agree.
More docky. I feel like it's stable. We're using it on some things here because it's not mission critical stuff, but it came on some things that we're
not
using
yet.
It for.
Not yet.
We won't roll it until our automation software for the library is on it. But I would go to Windows 11. If you have the machine to do it or you're buying a new PC, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, I think Microsoft also started to slowly take away the TPM requirement for some things now. You can run it, but there are system requirements for Windows 11 that you have to meet as well still.
TPM is a security chip, and frankly, we have bad experiences with it because some of our PCs, after a power outage, the chip loses its mind a little bit and needs to be reset, and we have to go around touching every computer to make it fixed. So we're not friends with that. So I hope that helps, Margaret. Thank you for asking a question. We appreciate it. Again, feel free to ask us questions as we go. We all yammer on until we're blue in the face, but feel free. So going back to Microsoft, $10 billion with a B, ChatGPT. So it is an AI, and it is a question and response AI.
Oh, it's one of those kind of things.
So it's a fuzzy logic. So, you know, it will have a conversation with you. So in library land, it's what we call a reference interview. When someone comes in and says, hey, I need something, okay? We usually conduct this thing called a reference interview. It's how you break down what the person is actually looking for. Because someone may walk in and say, I need a Patterson book about dogs. At least they give us the author, but we don't know the title or series or anything like that. Or they may walk in and say, I saw this book. It has a red cover. It's about dogs in 1970. And so it may take us a while to ask a lot of different questions to kind of formulate and figure out where the book is, or if someone's looking for us information, okay? We do that as humans. And technology people like Charlie and I, we do our technology interview. We ask questions to figure out what caused the problem that may be going on your PC or, you know, things like that. This ChatGPT actually carries on a conversation and will build a cogent thought. And so as reason Microsoft's behind is, this is their way to kind of jump past Google, is think about a search engine that knows that you're not putting in the right information by context.
Okay.
Because have you ever, either used a synonym or a homonym or the wrong there in a search and got the wrong information?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Google is getting smarter to go, are you sure that that's what you're looking for? This is to the next level going, I know that that's not what you're looking for. Let's find what you're really looking for. And I think this is good. I do. And the funny thing is this AI, not only does it do search queries, but you can actually have a conversation with it. And again, build your AP English essay. And it will produce correct grammar. It will arrange your thoughts. So it's not just going to regurgitate, because we've all seen AI created text. Like, some of it's just insane.
It's not that great.
You know?
Well, sometimes it's absolutely beautiful. Other times, it's literally nothing, something you
just
laugh at.
Yeah. You know, today I had a conversation with the blue trees. Is an AI regurgitation. In this case, it'll say, you know, my feelings about the War of 1812 and how it affected particular groups in the United States because of these things and because of these other factors. This is the level of this AI. It's having those kind of conversations, which is kind of like crazy, you know. But there is a sincere fear that this AI is smart enough to outsmart the basic way of people trying to look for plagiarism. Because when you look for plagiarism, I don't know if you guys have ever been on that side of the coin. I have, where you take a person's paper and you feed it into a thing, and it goes and basically kind of searches the internet and says, okay, how much of this paper is a direct quote from what we can find online? Mm-hmm. You know, and or written or anything like that. It'll search Project Gutenberg books and things like that. This is smart enough not to do that because it will write the paper differently each time. So if Morgan used this to write an AP paper and I used it to write an AP paper and you used it to write an AP paper and we provided it similar information, but because we're all different people, it will create a different paper. Because our direct interaction with it will be that much different.
So, like, if you give it, like, a prompt, and then if you write a thesis for it, it'll give you everything else?
Theoretically, by asking you questions. So it would be like, Morgan's writing a paper on thermodynamics of battle bots. And that's her, you know, she has a thesis statement. And then it's going to start asking her questions about things. And so it's going to use your knowledge, but it's going to write it itself, you know?
Just wait. The next technology is blocking anything on the school websites from using that sort of thing.
But the thing is, you don't need a website. You can carry it with you. I mean, this is starting to become, I mean, it's Ooh. Smart. You can carry it with you with the right setup.
That'll be some educational technology next 2 years. It's going to be scanning for AI generated things.
One of my really close friends is a university professor, and part of what he does in his computer science publishing life is he talks about the arm race between plagiarism and cheating in universities and the universities. You know, the technology developed to do this and the technology to develop to combat it. It's what he writes about and what he teaches about and things. And he does teach about AI. So I'm going to ask him about this at some point. So, yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. I definitely think it's interesting to think that AI is smart enough to make a paper. So I wish I had that in high school.
So it is 8:02.
We went 2 minutes over?
We went 2 minutes over. How about that? I still have stories.
I don't know. You didn't run out of stories. I didn't run out of stories.
Charlie didn't run out of stories.
I know. I had like five stories.
Morgan didn't run out of stories.
Well, Morgan didn't have any stories.
That's why she didn't run out. Perfect. So, again, thank you for tuning in to Talking Tech. We appreciate it. It's always good to see you guys, and it's always good to have chat questions and people watching. You know, feel free to always ask us questions on this or comment and see us. You can always schedule an appointment with Charlie for a one-on-one learning coach. And come in and see all the machines we have and all the things we're doing at this library because we're pretty unique and pretty interesting. So stay safe out there and see y'all later. You guys want to throw in a goodbye?
Later.